We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, so I've never used the ballpark app before, but since I'm going to the game tonight, my wife just sent these tickets via the app, so I downloaded it. I struggled with passwords because apparently I already had an account. I didn't know that, but I had an account, so that's always, oh, wait a second. What are the passwords that I use? I got in, she sent the tickets over, and boom, I think I have them.
So. Does it say on there, I think you have to go, tell me if this is true, through a specific gate?
Yeah, they want you
to. They want you to go, you know.
I think the tickets have always said that, but now they really want you to do it more often because of COVID. It says entry gate 2.
Okay.
But you would think, in a circumstance, what are they allowing into the game? 16,000, something like that?
You'd think they wouldn't be too jammed no matter what gate you go through.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Because it had gotten a little bit cumbersome just to get into the ballpark. If you went at the wrong time, if it's a 6:45, 7 o'clock game, you went right before, you know, 15 minutes before, you're going to get crushed with a lot of people, and that becomes a bit of a problem. Now, Andrew, you were saying, have you ever used this thing before, the ballpark app, or a transfer of electronic tickets?
I have transferred electronic tickets one time. Well, you know what? No, I prepared to do it, but then everything got canceled due to COVID, so I actually didn't end up doing it. But it makes me...
You sound old, dude. You sound like you're my age.
I sound so old, but it's like if I have two tickets to the baseball game and I suddenly decide while I'm sitting here at work with you guys that I don't want to go, and you guys say, oh, we would love to go. That'd be so much fun. I can just hand you each a ticket.
You know, that's a really good point.
And it's not a good point. Here's why.
The
old guy in me says, yes, you're right about that. But let me give you a real life example. So we're going with our friends who live in South City, not too far from Sioux. And I'm sitting here at work. I don't have my tickets. So you could always meet at the ballpark or do whatever. That's typically what people do. But she just sent that to me. So now I have my ticket.
Yeah.
My friends have their tickets. They're digital. They just swipe their phone when they get in and boom. So now you can meet at the seats or you don't have to wait for,
meet
in front of stand statue or something. I don't know. I think there's merit to it.
I was shown up by how easy it turned because at first, it seemed like it was going to be difficult, and I was like, see? But then while we were sitting there discussing how hard it was going to be, they came through very quickly, and you were like, oh, look at that, already done.
Okay, but
that's
what
so
if
easy.
You wanted to...
And I was like, oh, well.
Yeah, no kidding. What if you wanted to give those tickets to me? Could you just forward those? You really could?
I think I could do it right now. It's just
if you just downloaded the app,
then
like...
All right, well, then fine. You win.
I think long as you have a phone. here's what I thought of. When the Blues started doing this, so you tell me this scenario. Let's say that, all right, I just looked at my seats. I have pretty good seats, right? This may not be the best example just because we're in COVID and they're seating four people across or something. But let's say it's just a regular game. There's a couple of seats open, and I guess you could do this the old-fashioned way, too. You just run a ticket up to someone because they check when you go down into the box seats. They keep a pretty good eye on who's coming through, and they check the tickets. I guess my point was going to be, couldn't you just hand your phone to somebody or at least take a screen capture? You could even do that. Can you take a screen capture of your ticket, send it to someone that's in, section 403 or something like that? Say, hey, come on down. Here he is. Mr. Blues aficionado is going to set us straight on this.
Well, I do work there.
I know. But he busted in the studio like blues man of all knowledge.
Carl Middleman.
The ushers have been trained to swipe back and forth.
Oh,
on the phone to make sure
we're in
it's
a pandemic.
A
I don't want someone touching my phone. I'm not going to allow that.
Swipe back and forth. It's genius.
Or they have you do it.
Okay. So in other words,
so if it's
prove
a picture,
that's not a picture.
Right.
Okay.
Wow.
Well,
and that's an easy fix.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of genius.
But it was a good idea. Why do they have that fixed? Because people were probably doing it. Yeah, exactly. All right, well, that's interesting that would have. Carl, thank you for the one contribution
you
made to the show this afternoon. We appreciate that. Oh, my God. I mean, it's like he busts in, the door goes open. No!
No!
You're wrong.
No!
Let me explain why. But that's what we depend him for.
You know what, though?
That's
smart of them to have the ushers doing that. That's clever.
Yeah, it is.
I think I come from where there's a will, there's a way when it comes to getting down into good seats and stuff like that. And I'm not the most courageous person when it comes to that, but I know friends that, you know, you see people that can just talk their way into anything. And sometimes if you try hard enough, you can get into a situation. Look, the ushers, and I almost want to call them Andy friends, because when I grew up in Chicago before I moved here, that's what they were called at Wrigley Field. And when I was a kid, we tried to sneak down into the box seats. There was no one there at Wrigley Field in the 70s. The games were on the TV, but those Andy friends, they want to make sure, you know, that they keep you out. Now, I just remembered something else that I was going to say related to this.
Would they keep you out? Would they turn away kids? Yeah, you can't come down here. Yeah.
Yeah. They were kind of mean about it, too.
Yeah. Wow.
So when the All-Star game, this is a good story, and this was post 9/11, okay? The All-Star game, this was the infamous tie. There was one tie in All-Star game history, so I'd have to look if it was 2002, 2003. I was working at WTMJ, the Brewers' flagship, and the crane had collapsed at Miller Park, delaying the opening of the stadium. And usually when you get a new stadium, you get an All-Star game. So that was all pushed back, but we got the All-Star game in Milwaukee. So it's a big deal. We had it here. Gosh, I think it goes back even 10 years now. It's a great experience. Even if you don't go to the game, you have all the
All the,
you know, the fan stuff that they do. Mm-hmm. So I bought a strip of tickets to the All-Star game, which was not cheap. I think maybe strip means two. I think I had a pair of tickets, but you had to buy everything. So everything includes the Home Run Derby. I think there were three tickets, because something happened on Sunday, too. It was like the celebrity softball game. I skipped that, and then the All-Star game itself, and then Home Run Derby the night before. So I spent, you know, $600-$700. I think I took my brother-in-law to the game. Well, my now wife, Rebecca, who was working, I was on the radio side, and she was on the TV side, and had legitimate duties to, you know, to go occasionally and do work maybe at the game. But she was kind of pissed that she didn't have tickets to the game. So she put a bunch of, now again, this is post 9/11, okay? Post 9/11, she puts a bunch of lanyards on. She drives her car into an area, you know, that she was familiar with the ballpark, but she drives up, parks, and basically makes a claim, hey, I got to get this to this person from Channel 4 or some story. And she walks right into the All-Star game. And not only that, so
my gosh.
At Miller Park, they have, and it's really cool if you go there, because they have a Fridays restaurant out there in left field. And you can sit inside Fridays and, of course, kind of see the game. But they have what they used to call it Fridays Front Row.
Oh, okay.
So you buy tickets out there. There's seating. And, you know, you can have meals and watch the game. And it's great. So they had, I can't remember. Now I know. So she had a friend who was a bartender and someone who worked at Fridays. So she's into the game. That was basically all she had to do. Her friend Angelica let her into Fridays, and she ended up being on Fridays Front Row, and they had all these really cool swag things, because there were some liquor sponsors and stuff like that. So here I am in my seats where I was being, you know, well, I was paying a lot of money. Sure. You know, I don't even know what they cost today. And she gets a freebie because she had the guts to fake people out and go past security. But again, I think sometimes if you have the courage to do that, you can get away with it. I remember I had a friend years ago who had another friend that would claim, like, he'd go to bars after the Olympics and pick some obscure sport, right? Mm-hmm. And they'd go in, I think they might even have put a medal on and say, hey, this guy just won a gold medal.
That's the one.
Right?
That's
good
one.
Grief.
But, and then you get free drinks. It's like, hey, look at that. And everyone's drunk anyway.
Hey, he won the luge. Yeah.
If you can, you know, I can't do that. I'll crack relatively quickly if I'm trying to fool you or something like that. But there are some people that are just really, really good at it, and you can get away with a lot. And you would think that you wouldn't be able to in this era.
Right.
With the level of, but I think you'd be wrong. Because
a quick scan would tell. You know what I mean? It's not like they have to look at anything or call anybody. They can just scan.
Well, back then, though, Sue, at that, you know, that was before scanning. So
that's how she got away with it.
Yeah, probably, because there was no, I mean, she just had a press pass on that wasn't even an actual press pass. Mm-hmm. You know, it just looked like a press pass.
That's what I mean. Today, they'd scan it and boot her out. If they're doing the swipe thing, what were you
going to
say?
Maybe, but you do catch people that aren't, you know, they don't know what they're doing. They don't want to get yelled at by, maybe that person is supposed to be here.
Do you recall the story? It was a couple of years ago where that guy ended up pretending to be the sign language translator.
Oh, I don't remember that. No.
Here, let me see if I can find it. It was for something that was not...
did he get into the venue, or did they actually put him on stage to do sign language? Oh, Andrew. Oh, my gosh.
To be sign language. Let's
see. I don't remember this one.
That's unreal.
Again, kind of goes to my point. If you have the courage to do these things, you can probably get away with a lot more than you think.
It was at the Mandela Memorial, and the man was standing right next to Obama. And that's what I remember it being such a big deal, because he was right next to Obama, and he was a fake...
He was a fake interpreter.
Over the appearance on stage Tuesday of a man who they say was only pretending to do sign language interpretation, as President Obama and other world leaders, it was in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Holy
it was
cow.
At the Nelson Mandela Memorial after he died. A few people noticed it, what is he signing? Like,
what
deaf
was
people,
that?
What is he signing? He knows that the deaf cannot vocally boo him off, and he was just pretending to. He wasn't affiliated with, he just sort of, I guess, bluffed his way in, having been.
Well, you know, we were talking a little off the air, and I mentioned this with the connection that I had with my my young friend at the time when I lived with this family in Valencia, who's now, I think she's probably in her 40s, but I made mention of the fact that I want to go see Bruce Springsteen in Europe, and you guys were asking me, what's the appeal of that? And it's just because of the European crowds and things along those lines. But what he does, and I think other artists have done this too, so this was an effort to bust ticket scalpers years ago. And Andrew, you said you went to a show at Scott Trade or whatever it was called at the time. So there's something called The Pit. And they do this at Verizon too, you know, at the amphitheater or other. It's become very popular with artists. But Bruce started doing this years ago because it was a way to bust the scalpers. So if you have road seating at a concert, you know, 1 through 50. Of course, if you're in row 1, 2, 3, you get a lot of money on StubHub or whatever the scalping process was. So they took that out of the mix, and what they did was if you are in, you'd have to show up early in the day. There's a process to go through, and it's a bit of a lottery. And let's say 1,000 people show up that day. Your number, Sue, is 222. Andrew shows up. He's 571. I'm 989. So then they pull the lottery ball, and let's say the number is 950. Well, I'm golden because I'm 989. Then they recount. You're probably good, too, because you're at 222. Andrew's stuck. You know, you have to sit in the regular seats behind it. And I bring it up because...
Wait, I don't get that. What are you saying?
And maybe I don't explain that right. So then they let the first 500 people in that are allowed into the pit into that area, and they give you a wristband.
Okay.
I didn't complete my thought.
Everyone
else who has floor seats. So the floor seating in those instances, and other bands have done this too, wide open. There's no seats at all. So you're either in the pit, which is right up against the stage, and there's about 500 or 600 people in there, or you're behind all of that, you know, and you kind of, your
it's
goal is
genius.
To be, mm-hmm. right. But yeah. I bring it up because it's like anything else. If you have a pass on or something that looks like a backstage pass, or in that case, it's a wristband. And if you have the courage, and I've seen it all the time for people who just kind of flash it, it might even be the wrong color. Now, sometimes people look closely, but sometimes they don't. So if you kind of flash the ticket fast, or if you make it look like you have something on your wrist, I've seen people get flagged on this, and then they say, oh, sorry, you know, and at least they get an A for effort, I suppose. But I've also seen it work so many times. And again, I'm not the guy that does that, but I've always wanted to just a little bit.
Sure.
Because I think if you try to walk your way into something, you can probably do it. But that's what you described, Andrew, is a little bit more along the lines of a security threat, right?
Yes. A strange man unaffiliated with anyone standing, I mean, literally.
Just making
like
gestures.
6 feet away from the president of the United States.
I'd like to know if anyone lost their job over that.
Where
right?
was the secret?
Wow,
I mean,
oh
I remember.
Gosh.
I remember talking about it on because it was 2013, I think. And it's like, where was the Secret Service?
Wow. Yeah, that's a good story. I had missed that. All right, a couple things I want to mention here, and I didn't get to this update, so let's see if we can squeeze in an update to the San Marcos High School teacher Alyssa Pirro, who was heard kind of berating her students on Zoom sessions, and now there's some students and parents speaking out about that. We played some of the audio yesterday. I was going to get to it in the opening segment. We didn't have time. Philip Holloway coming up a little later. He's a former cop, now an attorney representing Sheriff's Department in Georgia. CNET executive editor Ian Scheer in the next hour. We're going to talk about passwords on Netflix because they're going to crack down on that. If you have family members in other cities that use your password, like I might or might not, you're not going to be able to do that for very much longer. And Charlie Gasparino is going to join us this afternoon, too. He, of course, is one of the senior correspondents for the Fox Business Network. Charlie's going to drop by at 5:25, plus an audio cut of the day. Some lawsuits filed by the Attorney General of Missouri, Eric Schmidt. He's coming up next on 97.1 FM Talk.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Think about this. I think we have to, because I told the story about the Attorney General of Missouri, Eric Schmidt, and his affinity for Miley Cyrus and Party of the USA. I think that has to be your new theme song. It was a bit of a miss this afternoon. How are you, Eric? Good afternoon.
I'm good. You know, I prefer like a Rage Against the Machine or an Alabama song or something like that. But if that is our song, so I'm good with that.
Well, it has to be.
It
was just a jokey thing that happened about a decade ago, and we started sending each other just audio whenever we'd hear it on the radio. But you know, I should mention this before we get into serious topic stuff, because if I remember correctly, there's a lot of knowledge on the part of Eric Schmidt on '90s hip hop, right?
Oh yeah, that was I grew up and listen to. I have a very eclectic like playlist. If you just like listen to the stuff, grew up in North County here in St. Louis, and I had a lot of, you know, I like country. I like all that stuff. It's great.
I do too. I'm a little bit more broad than I was 25 years ago when I hated country and I was a little more narrow minded. But there are a lot of people that don't want to listen to other genres, so I understand that. How are you doing overall?
I'm good. I'm doing great. Busy, but I'm doing good.
Yeah, so. You're busy, and a lot of this has to do with some lawsuits filed against the Biden administration.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we weren't busy in that department, but when, you know, this administration sort of bulldozes the lines of the separation of powers with these executive orders and continues to take unconstitutional action, somebody's got to stand up and fight back, and that's what we're doing. So we're really, Missouri's really taking the lead nationally in pushing back against some of these policies. And today we filed a lawsuit with the state of Texas against the Biden administration for really what you're seeing at the southern border. And it didn't happen by accident, Mark. I mean, the blame lies squarely at the feet of Joe Biden and his administration, because on day one, they reversed course on some very effective policies that prevented this kind of surge you're seeing at the southern border, where people are seeking asylum, creating conditions now where human trafficking and drug trafficking can thrive. And Missouri's not immune to that effect, because we're not a border state. It's gonna affect Missouri. But you saw, essentially, to put it into context, President Trump had what was called the Migrant Protection Protocol. So if you were seeking entry into this country and you were claiming asylum, and basically it was happening through Central America up through Mexico, that while you were waiting for your hearing, your due process hearing on those asylum claims, you were waiting in Mexico. It was the stay in Mexico policy. Essentially, the waiting room was Mexico. Why was that the case? Well, it was to prevent this kind of scenario that you had under the Biden administration, where people would come here, seek asylum, get a court date, but they were in the United States and you'd never see them again. Right. And so it really kind of stemmed that tide of the surge. People had their hearing, but it prevented the situation where all these people were unaccounted for. And Biden on day one, as a tip of the cap to the left, and because he wanted to oppose everything Trump did, rescinded that stay in Mexico, that migrant protection protocols. And now you see what you're seeing, which is you see these kids being dropped over the fence, people taking advantage. You see people being arrested now for human trafficking, drug trafficking. It's really a disastrous scenario at the border. And so we filed a lawsuit today to basically reinstate that policy, because the Biden administration didn't follow the right procedure in rescinding it.
So what is the process moving forward?
So the case was filed in Texas. So it's Missouri and Texas in the lawsuit suing the Biden administration. So the hope is to get a preliminary injunction and then hopefully a permanent injunction on the reversal of policy. So essentially, under administrative law, it's kind of boring stuff, but there's a whole host of things you have to do to change a policy like this. They didn't do any of that. And so we're saying, look, you didn't go through the right procedure. Therefore, the old procedure, which was working, should be reinstated. And look, this is a crisis. And I know that some people don't want to call it that on the left, but if anybody's paying attention to what's going on down there, you see, these kids in these cells or cages, as they were called when Trump was president. It's a bad situation, and there are a lot of people taking advantage of the situation. We have gained a national reputation for our anti-human trafficking efforts. We've had busts in St. Joe. We're kind of leading the charge on this. And here's what we know. When you have a situation like this, there's a lot of bad people that take advantage of women and children, exploit people in those situations as they're coming here, and you have that lawlessness at the border. They take advantage of that. And so there's a human toll with all this, too, in addition to just having a completely unsecure border.
It's horrifying. I had Congressman Wagner on yesterday, and Congressman Davis was down at the border last week as well. They're both back from that trip now. And obviously, the media has been very clear, Eric, though, on the differences in how much more severe this has been than when Donald Trump was in office. They've made that very clear, haven't they, in all the fair reporting?
It's a joke, isn't it? I mean, it's a 20-year high. Those are just the real numbers. We haven't seen anything like this in at least two decades. And, you know, they get softball questions. In Joe Biden's first press conference, a reporter asks him, you know, aren't they just coming here because they think you're a nice guy? And he kind of laughs about it. I mean, this is having these policies. In a lot of our lawsuits on energy, the Keystone Pipeline, on this social cost of greenhouse gases, all of this was done on day one. They came in, they had a wish list from the radical left. They initiated that wish list, rescinded a lot of these policies because it was Donald Trump that initiated them. And now we're seeing the consequences of that. Is the media covering it? Of course not. But it's happening. There's a crisis at the border. And so this is our attempt in the system of federalism as a state to say, wait a minute, this is going to have an impact across the country as people flood into the United States. Human trafficking is thriving. There's lawlessness abound, that in our system of federalism, states get to stand up and say, wait a minute, you don't get to do it like you said you were, you know, like you did it because you didn't follow the law. Therefore, we're seeking a temporary injunction, a preliminary injunction, and then ultimately a permanent injunction to get this thing back and fixed. Because if Joe Biden doesn't want to do it, we're going to do it for
So, and I would agree on all that, but you know what's going to happen in this situation with some people, and I will mention our friends at the Post-Dispatch. They're going to say, look, the Eric Schmidt wants to be your next senator. He's doing all this stuff in the AG's office for political reasons.
It's just false. Look, I'm the attorney general now. It's the first time we've had a Republican attorney general in the state with a Democrat president. And by the way, a radical agenda at that in a very, very long time. It's perfectly normal for there to be these differences when you see a president taking advantage of the system and sort of blowing through these constitutional protections to stand up. I wouldn't be doing my job otherwise. The fact of the matter is the Post-Dispatch, they don't even cover this. I mean, it's sad. I mean, this is all part and parcel of this. They don't want people to see what's happening at the border. But you betcha, if Donald Trump were president right now, they'd have cameras there 24-7 with cameras in front of these kids who are crying. Yeah. I mean, that's what's happening right now. But much worse than ever happened under President Trump, and they don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, by the way, it's not only happening right now, but it's getting worse, and there's no indication that it's going to get better because the policy's not changing.
That's exactly right, and that's why we're stepping in. And that is an appropriate, a perfectly appropriate place for states to stand up. Look, and by the way, Democrat AGs sued the Trump administration like over 300 times. So, look, we have a system in place where, you know, we have a legal system where these disputes are resolved. We have a system of federalism that's meant to protect individual liberty that, that works horizontally and vertically. So states have a very important role. And I wouldn't be doing my job as the state's chief legal officer if I wasn't standing up for the 6 million Missourians that I represent in calling out a policy here that has been a disaster for the United States of America.
Attorney General Eric Schmidt is with me this afternoon. What's going on? Is there anything? I'm still not really clear what Biden did on guns last week, which really wasn't a lot. It felt like it was just a feel-good thing. But there are there any lawsuits planned on that issue?
Potentially. I mean, you know, I've been a fierce defender of the Second Amendment, have an A-plus rating for the NRA, but the truth is what happened last week was he essentially charged a couple of agencies to promulgate rules on some things that could very well infringe on people's constitutional right to protect themselves. It's likely that's what's going to happen, and you can bet that if that's what they do, I'll be standing there defending the Constitution as I always do.
I got to talk to the Cardinals here. Not the best last three games. They did rebound last week, but part of that was against the Marlins. I don't even know what to say right now. Ricky Horton was on in the last hour. There are pitching concerns, as we expected, Eric.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I think that's right. It's that starting pitching that the rotation is not what you thought it might look like. Now, they got a lot of the strength of the team, obviously, is the depth of the bullpen, but they got to get some innings out of the starters, and they can't, you know, have these blow-up innings. I think the offense has been you know, there's been some individual disappointments, but, you know, Arenado's been good as advertised. Tommy Edman looks good at second base leading off. There's a lot of good things. But Paul,
I talked with Ricky about this. Paul DeJong, who has to be an important part of the offense. I mean, let's face it, he was the cleanup hitter until about two games ago, right?
Yeah.
Well, last night, I think he was batting 97, and that's probably down from when I saw it.
Well, I'm a big fan of moving Dylan Carlson up in the lineup. This is just my lineup. I'd have Dylan Carlson batting two. And you kind of push the meat of that order down a little bit further and add some depth because I think Dylan Carlson is going to have a good year. He's shown a maturity. You know, he's technically a rookie, but he's a very mature guy. I like moving him up, and you add some depth to that lineup. And then I think DeJong will be fine. He's always been a streaky hitter, and we're just getting the bad side of that right now. Yeah. So.
And he's pressing a little. That's what you worry about. I maybe a little bit more relaxed if he's down into the five hole, but I am a little concerned. I don't know what happens. You know, you look at Alan Craig, you look at Matt Carpenter, you look at what's happening, hopefully not in the long term, with Paul DeJong.
Well,
sometimes
not,
that's mysterious, isn't it?
Yeah, he's not at the right age. Like, those guys all, I mean, Alan Craig, that's still a mystery. I mean, he had that foot injury and was a little bit of an older guy, but not, you wouldn't expect that kind of drop off. Carpenter, you know, he came up, I think, when he was 26. And so you're seeing the tail end of the career and what people kind of expect. DeJong's still a relatively young guy. I don't expect this to be a season-long thing, but he's definitely in a funk, and I hope he gets out of it soon because they need that offense and they need good starting pitching, that's for sure.
Hey, Matt Carpenter got a bunt hit, so there's a step in the right direction, right?
You take what you can get when
that's
you're
right.
0 for whatever. So,
Missouri Attorney General and baseball analyst Eric Schmidt. Always great to have you on. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Good to talk to you, Mark.
439, Mark Beard, 97.1 FM Talk. Coming up, Phil Holloway, legal analyst, former cop. And he's representing a sheriff's office in Georgia. He's got a lot of thoughts on what's happening in Minnesota. Phil Holloway coming up next.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, we found out earlier today that the officer involved in the shooting in Minneapolis resigned. Also, the police chief today.
We have received a resignation, a letter from Officer Kim Porter. And in addition to that, we have also received a letter of resignation from the police chief.
That's Mike Elliott. He's the mayor of, what's this place called? Brooklyn. I kind of brain cramp on that. I want to say Brooklyn Heights, but it's not. It's Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. His message to his community.
Although things did not unfold the way we thought ultimately they should unfold, we're hoping that we're turning over a new leaf now. I'm confident in that. I think that, you know, we're going to develop an approach that is community-based, that is based on working with the very strong voices in our community.
That sounds a lot like defund the police, and Congresswoman Tlaib is saying that today. Phil Holloway is with me this afternoon, legal analyst, former police officer. He's now an attorney representing a sheriff's department in Georgia. Philip Holloway, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
I'm great, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk on the specifics of this case with the taser and the mistake that that officer made. For a lot of folks, it's hard to get past that. What would you say about that and the level of training that she had? I mean, this was no rookie. A lot of times in these situations, in fact, I think we know the pattern has been the opposite with some of the encounters. Young, inexperienced officers, this is the opposite.
You know, this was the topic of conversation this afternoon. I was at the firing range doing my annual firearms qualification for the sheriff's office, and this was a big topic of the conversation. You know, the question is like, okay, is it possible that someone could mistake, you know, a taser for a firearm? And everyone that was there, and it was a large group, said, look, you know, we hope it never happens, but they certainly could conceive of it happening. It's a type of negligence, Mark. You know, it's one of these things where negligence exists in the world. And unfortunately, sometimes people die as a result of negligence. The question is, in this case, does it rise to the level of being criminally negligent? And I honestly don't know the answer to that. There's going to need to be a lot more information as a result of hopefully a thorough and objective investigation. If it turns out that she had improper training, and if there's other facts that sort of make it lean towards being ordinary negligence, then no charges should be filed. After all, if a surgeon causes someone to die due to medical negligence, we don't rush out and seek an indictment. So hopefully we would hold the police to the same professional standard maybe as others and not rush to a criminal court just because we're mad at someone.
Yeah, and I think that the bottom line, as I said this yesterday, there is little, if any, doubt that this is going to be a big check in a wrongful death suit that the insurance company for that city will have to pay, and they might as well just make the offer right now because it's going to be a big one. But on your point, whether this is, you know, against the law or there was a crime committed, that's going to be a little tougher to prove or even to bring that charge. There might be something there. But look, if they don't get a conviction, if they bring that charge, that might satisfy people. If they don't get a conviction on that, this is going to happen all over again.
We've got to get past this knee-jerk, you know, media and Twitter outrage where suddenly every time something that we don't like happens in the news that, you know, we're going to solve it with a knee-jerk reaction and instantly conclude we know what happened. You know, I admittedly don't know if this is a crime or not. I don't think it's an intentional type crime. If anything, it would be, you know, some type of criminal negligence. But to be honest about it, what I saw from, you know, I saw the same video the rest of the world saw. I wouldn't call it an accidental discharge like the chief did because it was an intentional discharge. She just intended to pull a different trigger.
Right,
so
right.
It was in that context an accident. It wasn't like she was intending to use deadly force. Her intent was to use less than lethal force. And I think that's significant. And I think it's really unfortunate that these media and social media narratives take hold. I've seen it in real life in my practice. I've seen it ruin the lives of officers, their families, certainly ruin their careers, all because there was a narrative that developed really quickly and it turned out to be wrong. and it's really something that we need to take a look at as a society.
You mean
I can treat people better?
I'll come up with a scenario. This one's crazy. This one's kind of, but bear with me here. Like, maybe if there was somebody that was shot in Ferguson, Missouri, and the claim that was made was hands up, don't shoot, and the evidence showed completely something different. But still people in this country believe the original narrative, if you would do. And by the way, people in our area, so we're familiar with that. On the issue, you know, this is a tough thing because this guy did not deserve to be shot dead. The officer wasn't trying to do that if we believe that she made a mistake. On the other hand, Philip, every one of these situations, you see non-cooperation with police. And this guy ended up evading a warrant one time when he was told that there was a warrant. That's when he resisted arrest and tried to get back into the car.
Oh, look, there's simply no nice way to arrest someone who is bent and determined on not allowing themselves to be arrested, okay? And when that happens, police officers have to use force. They just will. They can't let it slide. It's not a discretionary thing. Once they are resisted forcefully, they have to use force themselves. Now, the law says it must be reasonable and legal force, but that's the common denominator in all these cases. It starts with someone who is resisting arrest or otherwise not complying with a police officer. You know, the side of the road is not the right place to challenge the police. It's in the courtroom. That's why we have courts of law, and we have judges and juries, and we have the right to counsel, and we have due process and all these things. And, you know, these officers are entitled to due process just like anybody else who's accused of a crime. We just need to let the process play out.
Do you have any kind of differing opinion over, because, and I mentioned this yesterday, you know, the thing in Brooklyn Center came about. I was already planning on talking about this case from Virginia where there was an Army lieutenant that was pulled over by cops. One of the police officers was fired yesterday. Karen Nazario is the guy's name. That's one that's getting a lot of attention. Well, just the way that the police encountered him, shouted the orders, told, what was the word, Andrew, that he used? You're going to basically, when he was referring to the taser, he said, ride the lightning. You're going to ride the lightning.
You're fixing to ride the lightning.
Do you have a different opinion of that case and the way the officers responded and acted?
Well, I don't. To me, just objectively, I think that the officer's conduct was not the most professional I've ever seen, to be honest with you. But you have to also take into account that when you're a police officer and you're trying to make a traffic stop and someone, you know, doesn't pull over immediately, and, you know, let's just say that, like, in this case, it's not like they hit the gas and you've got a high-speed chase, but nevertheless, they don't immediately stop. I've been in that situation, and I can tell you what goes through an officer's mind is you start wondering, okay, now what's this person going to do? Are they going to, you know, hit the gas? Are we going to have a high-speed chase on our hands where we have to worry about innocent people being, you know, in harm's way? Or are they trying to maybe just find a safe place to pull over because they've heard that's the right thing to do? Or maybe they're trying to make up their mind if they, you know, are they reaching for a gun? These are the types of things that officers are thinking about, so their alert goes up.
Yeah, because they don't want to die, right? Philip Holloway, legal analyst, former police officer down in Georgia. I'm out of time for this hour. Philip, thank you so much for coming on this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Have a good day.
455, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.